on behalf of America's Renewable Future, which is a new bipartisan campaign being announced today. With us today, we'll have a former Iowa State Representative Annette Sweeney, Bill Kowser, who is a leader in Iowa's renewable fuels industry, and Iowa Governor Terry Branstad will be joining in just a moment. Before we get to the speakers, if you'd like to ask a question during today's call, we'll ask you to press star 1 on your phone. Again, that's star 1, and then the operator will get you into the queue for questions. And since we are short on time here, I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to former Iowa State Representative Annette Sweeney.
Good morning. My name is Annette Sweeney, and I'm from Alden, Iowa. And also from being a past state representative, I'm also a farmer. I'm a corn soybean raiser, and I also have cow-calf production with my husband. And with America's Renewable Future launch today, I see it as such an opportunity to be able to collaborate with individuals, no matter what candidate status they are, and also for educating Iowans as well as Americans on the renewable fuel standard and what economic, sustainable, and renewable impact it has, not only for Iowan, but also for America. And I've experienced being in the legislature times where I can seize an opportunity in order for me to have a conversation about the positive things about our renewable fuels here that we have in Iowa and also across the nation. And it's interesting to me, every time that I get to visit with a legislator, somebody just at the coffee shop, as well as candidates, once what is explained, what a great thing is our renewable fuels are for us. They understand the renewable fuel standards and how important it is to Iowa and also to America, again, on economic, renewable, and sustainable planes that we have. So I'm very excited to be a co-chair of this great effort that we are going to have, and I'm looking so forward to being able to educate individuals that come to our state as well as within our state for how important it is for all of us to embrace this the renewable fuel standard.
And this is Terry Branstad. I just stepped in for a few minutes here. I've got another commitment, but I just want to say I'm very passionate about renewable fuel standard, and I'm very proud to say that last year when I asked the Iowa legislature to pass a resolution supporting a robust renewable fuel standard, we received unanimous support from both houses of the legislature. This is very important to our state's economy. It's made a real difference for farm income and good jobs, reducing our dependency on foreign oil, improving the environment. And so I'm just really excited to see this strong bipartisan effort being made to educate people that come to Iowa and presidential candidates about how important this is for America's energy independence and for the economy of especially this great heartland of America. I've got to go because I've got another commitment, but you guys keep continue on. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor.
Bill, good to be with you. Yes. Thank you.
Bet.
Well, my name's Bill Kowser. I wear many different hats in the ag sector. I'm a seed producer. I'm a farmer. I'm a family farm. I own a feedlot. I've been a co-founder of an ethanol plant. I've been president of the Iowa Renewable Fuels and involved in many different national levels with those organizations. But I guess first and foremost, it's such a privilege to be what we call this a grassroots organization. And the privilege of being able to bring these candidates to Iowa and take them to our farms and our feedlots and introduce them to how this actually works. And in our presentation, we talk about cracking the kernel, how we take that kernel of corn apart and how we use the intrinsic value of each one of those pieces to make sure it gets utilized in its proper form. And for us across Iowa and the Midwest, these small communities have gone together and they've gathered local dollars and they've built these plants with the anticipation of keeping those dollars at home to make sure that those roads and those schools and fire protection is there for us. So Nettie and I are very excited about meeting these candidates on a very bipartisan partnership, bringing them here and just educating them about sustainability in Iowa.
Well, very good. Thank you, Bill and Annette and Governor Branstad. We also have on the line, I think, Eric Branstad, who is going to be leading the campaign along with Derek Eaton, another seasoned operative in Iowa. If you would like to ask a question on the call, we'll ask you to press star 1 on your keypad, and we'll go ahead and just wait a minute here for the queue to form. Okay, and we'll go ahead and take the first question from Chris Prentice at Reuters. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, thank you all for doing this. I just have a quick question. You mentioned the campaign will be a multi-million dollar effort. Is there any more specific number you can put on that?
Eric is not here right at the moment, and I'd really like to wait till Eric gets in the room and he can answer that question.
All right, so we will come back to that for sure. Let's go ahead and hear from Ellen Ferguson at, I believe it's Congressional Quarterly.
That's right. Thank you very much. I guess what practical effect is this going to have on the decision that's pending in Washington now on the renewable fuel standard? EPA has said that it's going to release mandates for 2014, 2015, and 2016 this year. And the effort you're talking about seems to be sort of a longer-term sort of effort. So what practical effect is it going to have on or influence what EPA is planning to do?
Well, I think some of the practical matters is I told a story about an individual that didn't understand about the distiller grains and the syrup that you get from the ethanol and the biorefineries and also the soy oil that we have. And I think once we educate and get an opportunity to be able to engage candidates, legislators at every level, and help them to understand how important the renewable fuel standard is, also the byproducts, the economic impact, and to also help educate them on the sustainability. And I think we're going to have a lot more open discussion, and with education always comes positive results.
And just to add to what Nettie said, we've had EPA, many divisions of the department, out to our farm and our feedlots and our pastures. And it's amazing what they learn when they're out there. And when they can see it, touch it, smell it, feel it, they go back with a different perspective. So I think that if we can get those candidates here and tell them the story and show them how this all comes together for local communities, they'll understand. Eric is back now, and he could probably address the question that was asked first. Would you want to repeat it?
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us.
I think the question was if there was anything more specific that could be said about how much money will be going into the campaign beyond saying that it's a multi-million dollar effort.
Well, we have goals. We have partners coming in from all over the country and certainly all over the Midwest and all over Iowa. And those partners have committed millions to fund this effort, and we're going to be continuing to raise money through those partners, and so that we can have the biggest and best impact that we have ever seen with a campaign like this in the state of Iowa. In fact, it's going to look, and we are designing it to look a lot like a presidential campaign. However, the RFS is our candidate, and we're going to be working really hard to spread that message. And not to mention, what I'm so proud of to be with this group is the bipartisan team that we've put together. Former Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge could not join us today. She's traveling today. She will be, we can make her available, to you in the next, couple yet today, tomorrow, but we're putting together a great bipartisan team, and that includes staff as well. The best and brightest and most talented is who is joining our team.
Very good. And again, a reminder to ask your question, press star 1 on your keypad to get put into the queue. We'll take the next question from Rachel Gantz at the Oil Price Information Service.
Yes, hi. I wanted to find out how this effort will differ from other PR efforts by biofuel groups on the RFS, and also wanted to find out specifically who is funding the effort. You mentioned partners are coming in from all over the country. Specifically, who are they?
A few of our initial partners is the Iowa Corn Growers Association, the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, and really, you know, many other small groups, and we've got meetings set up over the next couple of months with other potential partners. I don't want to name them by name, but you know who they are, from both agriculture and unions, and you know, you name it, we're talking to them. And what we're finding out is the broad support that we have from all over, certainly all over the state and the Midwest, but even beyond.
I think also to expound on what Eric was saying, speaking from a former legislator perspective, I see that this group is just not charging in and saying we have to have renewable fuels. What we're open to is what we want to do is we want to educate. What Bill said, we want to be able to bring them out to his place to show them, let them touch, let them feel, let them experience what the renewable fuel standard has to offer with the other entities that we have that goes with that, biofuels, cattle feed. There's much more to this than just throwing money at something. This is to educate and to help with concrete facts of what the renewable fuel standards does, not only for Iowa, but also America.
And if you could address how this effort is different than other PR efforts by biofuel groups?
I would say I've been a part of other campaigns, other caucus campaigns. I was part of the Edna 08 campaign back in 2007 with the Gates Foundation. What makes this different is we are running it and we're putting it together like a presidential campaign. We're going to have a similar looking staff. We're going to be traveling the state. We're going to be talking to people. And like I said earlier, the RFS is our candidate. And we're going to show, the reporters, the people, the caucus goers, the candidates. We're going to show them certainly how important it is to Iowa and the Midwest, but how important it is to the nation, how important it is to consumer choice, how important it is to national security, all of the above, and that's what's going to make us different than some of the other groups.
You know, I have to add, this is Bill. You know, over the years, I've just really enjoyed meeting some of the candidates the last two or three presidential terms, because it seems like with the Iowa straw poll, they come to Iowa first. And it's very important to us that they do continue to come here first, because they can hear that message from a grassroots organizations that basically understand what America really is and how it was built. So, you know, I've got to spend a day with Senator McCain and all the individuals who's run for president over the past few years. And it's exciting for Nettie and I to be in that grassroots organization to really meet people that are on the ground.
And one quick thing to add too, you know, this is Iowa driven, and you know what we're going to do is we will influence caucus goers by educating them and showing them what the RFS does for the state and for the nation.
All right, we're going to keep moving through questions because I want to make sure that we can make the most of our time here. We've got the next question from Mario Parker at Bloomberg News. Go ahead.
You met with caucus candidates and that they would talk about and you would educate them about ethanol. So why the concerted effort this go around? Is there a sense that the RFS is losing favor or is at risk of being eliminated?
Well, I really think when we look at the RFS as one of the pieces, a few years ago, it was a very heated debate when corn prices were high. And as a farmer, I understand what that means. But also as a cattle feeder, I understood what that meant. And now that has finally gone away, we look at a box of Cheerios today. Has the price gone down? No. So when we look at RFS, and then we look at the next generation of ethanol plants that are coming along, you know, DuPont is building a cellulosic ethanol plant right next to our plant of Lincoln Way Energy in Nevada. To me, as a farmer, that's the next step in this ethanol production, because when we look at the RFS, we have 15 billion gallon with starch. Now our next step is cellulosic. And if we can develop the cellulosic world, guess what? We have cellulose all over this world. This world could become energy independent.
And this is Eric. You know, remember, this is an industry that has more than doubled since 2007. It supports more than 73,000 jobs in our state alone and supports $5 billion in wages for Iowa workers. There are now more than 50 ethanol or biodiesel refineries in Iowa. I believe that's up 17 refineries since 2007. So this is a big industry, and we're going to work really hard, and that's how important the RFS is to Iowa and beyond.
This is Bill. I think it's very important, though, for all of everyone to understand that as a farmer and as an ethanol producer and a cattle feeder, we are unsubsidized anymore. And when I look at big oil, we're standing on our own 2 feet today as a farmer and as an ethanol industry or biodiesel industry. So I think that's what's making us feel very proud here in the United States and Iowa.
I think we have time for one or two more questions. We'll go to Amanda Paterka from Greenwire.
Hi, I just wanted to get your thoughts on how significant do you think ethanol in the RFS is compared to the various other issues that will be debated going into the Iowa caucus? You know, in other words, how does it stack up for caucus goers?
I think the RFS for the caucus goers and for the candidates at every level for the 2016 elections, it's going to be very important for them to understand the renewable fuel standards. Again, I'm going to go back to the education, and I'm also going to go back to for them to be able to embrace the economic impact that the renewable fuel standard has for us, as well as for the corn and the soybeans. And also, I'll give you an example. I lived through the 80s during the farm crisis, and so did Bill Kauser. We saw the ugly of farm, and we had a glut of corn, and we had land prices that were devastating to the economic impact for the United States. And I was having coffee one day, and we all said, what are we going to do with this corn glut? And somebody came up with the idea of ethanol and how exciting ethanol was. And when the candidates come to Iowa, and it's not just an Iowa issue, it's a United States issue, because the economic impact for us to be able to have the biofuels from corn, soybeans, and other grains is a huge, it's a huge entity for us to be able to keep our heartland alive. And I want to be able to convey that to the candidates, again, at every level at the 2016.
And I think it's very important that you understand that these are local investments. When we take our ethanol plant in particular, when I sit in church, it might be the school teacher, it might be the parts man at John Deere, it might be the man that delivers fuel. He owns a part of that plant. They now finally have a tie to Iowa agriculture. They've always wanted to be in some part of farming or some part of agriculture. Now they own a piece of the rock. How often do you get a drive by a plant like that and you stop in and you talk to the general manager, or you stop and talk to a director and you get direct questions? We are locally owned and locally run.
All right, very good. And then we've got time for just one more question, and it'll be a follow-up from Owen Ferguson at CQ. Go ahead.
I was asking, how much do you think you're going to be able to influence opinions beyond Iowa by concentrating on the Iowa caucuses and the presidential candidates? Because ethanol in particular seems to have a regional problem. It's well regarded in the Midwest and less embraced in other regions.
good question. I think this, again, we'll go back to the education part where I had talked to another legislator from Kansas. Yes, even Kansas didn't understand the renewable fuel standard, didn't understand what ethanol and biofuels do for our economy. As I look at this as a great opportunity to embrace conversation and education, and hopefully with those candidates that come to our state, they can go back to their states and say, hey, this is what exactly is going on, and these are the facts. And I know Bill is fantastic in, to conveying those facts, but we got to get the facts out, man.
And, you know, I have to tell one quick story how this really all began. On 9/11, we all know where we were and what we were doing. And I was picking seed corn, and my dad came up, opened the door of the tractor, and he said, "You will always remember this day like I do Pearl Harbor, because your government will ask you of things that you never thought you could do. Our government asked us to somehow become energy independent. Has our country forgot what our government asked us at 9/11? Well, we took that role in the Midwest, and it happened here because of the starch-based ethanol, and it happened here because of the grassroots organization. And that's how this all got started, and we're here to stay."
To finalize, you know, it starts here in Iowa. And this is about consumer choice, national security, and the environment, and those are issues that address the entire country.
Well, very good. We are out of time. And with that, we'll wrap up today's call. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.